Amen, brothers. Let's turn to the outline on lesson 14. There's kind of a ring in this. Brothers, before we go to the outline, I'd like to take a few minutes to share with you something from the ministry concerning the Lord's ministry and the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the Gospel of Christ, proving that Christ is the slave Savior. And I feel this passage from the ministry helps us understand what we're doing here and the nature of this training and the nature of the Lord's work in us and on us for His purpose. I don't know how many of you are familiar with these messages, but the opening of the scriptures, the opening of the word in the Gospel of Mark, life study, the opening of the word in the Gospel of Mark life study was a colossal opening of the word, which Brother Lee even told us he was not aware of until he stood on the platform and spoke those messages in the newly built training center in Irving, Texas in 1984, I believe. But brothers, in these messages, Brother Lee showed us, well, if you just read through the outline, you'll see the progression of the revelation there. But in a very particular way, he shared with us the Lord's service as a slave was to serve sinners. And those sinners were eventually going to become his habitation, his body, his continuation. His disciples were the ones who were particularly under the Lord's perfecting work. And that perfecting work is shown in principle in the miracles that he performed. And in the particular healings of those who were following him as an illustration of the work the Lord must do in all of us if we aspire to serve the Lord. I really commend you to go back and read these life study messages in the Gospel of Mark as the Lord leads. But what I would like to focus on this morning is a passage. I'm starting in message number 26. Entitled, The Highlight of the Gospel of Mark. And I'd like to share this with your brothers because I believe this will help us to know how to receive this training. How to understand what the Lord is doing and how to cooperate with Him in the carrying out of this training. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, as in chapter 17 of Matthew, unveils Christ in his transfiguration. And the footnotes in Matthew 17 are more explanatory than they are in Mark. But in the life study, we saw that when the Lord revealed himself to his disciples, right, to Peter, James, and John on what's called the Mount of Transfiguration, that he was revealed to them, to his disciples, as the universal replacement. Why does Brother Lee expound it that way? Because, and especially in the Gospel of Matthew, when the Lord Jesus was unveiled, when he was unzipped, as Brother Lee said, and the glory of his divinity, which had been concealed within his humanity, was burst out. Along with him there appeared Moses and Elijah, signifying the law and the prophets, signifying the entire revelation and ministry of God's economy through the law and through all the prophets. And we know that upon this revelation, upon seeing this vision of the Lord accompanied by the law and the prophets, Peter made one of his many big blunders. And he said, "Lord, it's so good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Right? Well, then we know all of a sudden a cloud came over them and a voice spoke out of heaven saying, "This is my son. Hear him." Immediately nullifying the law and the prophets. He nullified the law and the prophets in the sight of these closest disciples to the Lord. Well, there's some history leading up to that, and in the history of the cases that the Lord dealt with in Mark and beyond that. And I referred to it earlier as specific healings. Before the Lord's transfiguration on the Mount, before his being revealed as the universal replacement, he, along with his disciples, passed through the regions of Galilee and so forth, healing certain people of specific problems. He healed blind people. He healed deaf people. He opened their ears. He opened their eyes. He loosed their tongue. And all of these refer in principle to the work that the Lord needs to do in all of us. In order to see who he is, in order to hear his voice, in order to take him as the universal replacement for all of us. You know, brothers, the Lord intends and desires, and in this training, his goal is to replace us all. Amen. I'm just concerned, we may say, "Well, man, I'm the wrong guy. I just got a bad heart, not only physically, but spiritually. Right? I got all these problems. I'm the wrong one. I think I'm going to check out." Well, in his preparation for the disciples to see him, to see the Lord, and brothers, we really shouldn't think we see the Lord. We really shouldn't think we know the Lord. In order to see this revelation, the disciples needed to be inwardly healed and inwardly convicted. So right before this transfiguration and revelation in Mark chapters 7 and 8, there's an unveiling to the core of the human heart. There's an unveiling of the condition within every man. And that condition, you recall the Lord said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles the man. It's what comes out of the man that defiles the man. For out of the heart come adulteries, fornication, evil speaking, anger, covetousness. You look at the list. It's a very full inventory. Take inventory, right? The Lord was helping his disciples to whom he was about to unveil himself in all his glory, what was in them. The purpose of knowing ourself, the purpose of knowing our heart, the purpose of seeing what we are, not what we can do on a bad day, but what we are, is the basis for our seeing who the Lord is. You know? So in his gospel service as a slave of God to serve sinners, it's helpful for us brothers to all put ourselves in that category. We're all sinners. And sinners are not very good to look at. They're blind. They're born blind. They're blind. They can't see. They're deaf. They can't hear. They're dumb. They can't speak. This is what the Lord came to serve. Blind ones, deaf ones, dumb ones. And then he got into the heart. And he said, the blind, the deaf, and the dumb, these are all obvious. It's obvious if somebody's blind. Obvious if they can't speak. Obvious if they're deaf, unable to hear. But what about the heart? What about the heart? Right? And we can see from these messages here, the Lord is coming to us to touch us in our heart. I don't think there's a soul who could be in this room this morning who heard what's been spoken so far who could walk away justified or walk away believing, boy, the brothers, praise the Lord, they finally realize my real potential, right? Man, you know, thank you, Lord. Recognition takes a while sometimes, right? I've endured, I've suffered, now I'm ready, right? And I don't want to make too much of a joke out of it, brothers, but listen. The Lord did all of this for this group of very problematic men, right? So that he could unveil himself to them as their replacement, as their needed replacement. If we don't know our condition, brothers, you know, a big problem in medicine is that if you deny you have a problem, well, then all the medicine in the world is not going to help you. All the riches of Christ are not going to nourish you. All the benefit of this ministry is not going to change you because there's no need for it. You don't need it. But if by the Lord's mercy, month by month, and week by week, and even as our brother Elton said, day by day, amen, we have an appointment with the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we tell him, Lord Jesus, I keep coming back to you because I need you. The brothers have asked me to come to a training. And according to this training, I'm being trained to be able to bear responsibility in the most important matter in the universe. You know, this is not just talk, brothers. We don't talk this way. This is the truth. What's more important, that Elon Musk, you know, get to Mars, have monkeys on Mars or whatever his thing is? Or we become something that can be useful to the Lord. There's no comparison. We're in another realm. And yet, we're in a real realm. We're in the most real realm of all. And so, I hope we could all just feel, we're just with the Lord. We're a group of people whom the Lord has picked up. You just picked them up like you walk down the street and you just pick up a piece of paper and you pick up a bottle and you pick up another piece of junk. Junk. You just scatter it around. Did any of you have great insight and ascertain the value of the Lord's recovery and how you would enter into it and you would give your... No, you didn't. The Lord picked me up as a piece of garbage. Piece of junk that was, if he didn't come in time, the street sweeper would have gotten me. Yeah. It would have gotten you. No value, brothers. We don't have any value. Sorry. Hate to insult all of you like that. And now we're here telling you, now you've got to be a slave. You have a spirit of a slave. The attitude of a slave. What's that? I thought we got rid of slavery. I thought that's bad. We're telling a room full of grown men that they need to go back to wherever they're from and be a slave. Be abused, be misunderstood, but be faithful and love everybody who thinks you're the most inadequate elder in the Lord's recovery. And they'll tell you about it. Well, brothers, really, I hope we'll just take it to heart. Who are these bums the Lord picked up in Galilee? Galilee is not Jerusalem. If you go to Galilee, Galilee and Jerusalem are worlds apart. The simple people in Galilee, simple people living by the sea. Maybe you're on a campus and the Lord just came and got you. My goodness, what a mercy. Brothers, we are those brothers. We are those people. We're those people today. We're those people today. But if we don't see who we are, and if we don't see who He is, we're just a piece of garbage. In fact, we're worse. We'll be a problem in the church where we are. We'll do damage to the Lord's recovery. We will lose what we've been ordained to enjoy, receive, and enjoy. So the Lord led these. I just feel we're just the same as them, brothers. We're just the same as Peter and James, Bartholomew, Matthew, money lovers, dumb fishermen, rebels. You know, one of them was what do they call them? They were the rebels.
Zealots.
Simon the Zealot. That means he was a political organizer. He was the insurgency bombing the Roman legions. Nutcase. You know, just all about changing the political order. Right? Or just nothing. Brothers, this is who we are. Hallelujah, the Lord has picked us up, right? Yeah. The Lord's come to us. Yeah. And not just brought us into His recovery, He's brought us here to open our eyes to, what's my time? How much time do I have left? Don's flashing the book at me here, the clock. How much time do I have left? 25 minus 3? 7 or 8. Okay, praise the Lord. That's good. All right. I thought he was going to say 3 or 1, you know. Okay, brothers. Help me on this. Be with me. I want us to get into the spirit of this training.
Amen.
I want us to know who we are. Of what value are we?
Amen.
What value are we if we don't see these things?
Amen.
What value are we if we don't know our heart? What value are we if we don't have our inner eyes opened?
Amen.
What value, brothers? No value. You have nothing to offer the church. Nothing. Anything we have apart from the Lord's serving us, healing us, exposing us to the core. Anything we have is worthless. I would say, just check out. But we can't do that. We're the ones who the Lord has picked up. What we need to do is We need to come to the Lord day by day.
Amen.
You know, originally I had the burden to share something at this time about the heaviness of this word. You know, brothers, we're not talking about organizing a little group of Christians. We're not talking about taking care of affairs in the church in a proper way. Although all those things are encompassed in this. We're talking about bearing the burden, the weight of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Going forward. Not looking backward. And while the room is filled with many of us who've been here a long time, the focus of this training, brothers, are you who are young. You who have been led by the Lord into the recovery. You've even heard the highest peak of the divine revelation. You, brothers, honestly, are the focal point. So you, brothers, need to understand how significant you are and yet how weighty, awesome, heavy the burden is for this training. This training is not just a training. This training is a means by which the Lord can move on, can continue way beyond our useful years, way beyond my useful years. And the way we can match the Lord, meet the Lord's need, is to allow Him to shepherd us day by day in these things. Till we see what a condition we have in our heart. Till we see what a poor character and person we have. And cry out to the Lord for His mercy. Cry out to the Lord. Brothers, we're in any worldly enterprise shrinks to nothing if we catch a glimpse of where we are and who we are. And that seeing, that realization will motivate us to love the Lord and to sacrifice it, like the song says, never talk about sacrifice. It's a privilege. So, brothers, I want us to see the Lord is with us. He's serving us sinners. He's healing us bit by bit. And He's exposing us in the deepest part of our being. He's exposing us so that He can bring us to the point where we see who He is. He is here. He was brought forth by God to replace everything.
Amen.
To replace you. Replace me. And this is the only way His economy can be carried out.
Amen.
The only way, brothers. So I hope while we're in these messages, this on the heart of the elder, we will take these messages that are as exposing as they are, as the Word of God, as the breath of God that reveals and convicts. Let the Lord's light shine on us. Let the Lord show us who we are. Let the Lord help us realize what a mercy it is for us to be here, right? And I believe we'll be in the proper posture and attitude to benefit from these times. I say this to all ages. I say this to all brothers. Whether you're an elder or not an elder or all that, forget about that. We're here to have an extended time with the Lord.
Amen.
An extended period of time. We'll mention at the end of today the registration for the coming term, which will begin in July. An extended, a year's time when the Lord, through His ministry, can shepherd us. and enable us to realize him as our replacement. I think I'll just say this much, brothers. My time is up. And Brother Alex will handle the outline. But may we realize what the Lord is doing here. This is not a small thing. We're so blessed. And the Lord has much, much more to do in all of us. You'll never reach a point where you say, hey, I finally made it. This is really good. No, you'll reach a point where you say, when you get to my age, you say, what did I ever know before? What did I ever think I knew? The Lord's word is fresh. The Lord's light is bright. And the Lord's way is clear before us. So I want to share this opening word.
Amen.
And ask for you, brothers, to just pray along these lines. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry about that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I really enjoyed that opening word. I just feel that these times are so tremendous that on one hand, it's the most sobering, many times exposing a time. On the other hand, it's the most encouraging, most blessed time that we're in, the most awesome, weighty time that we're in, that we could be a part of this.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For what the Lord is doing in Northern California.
Amen.
I told the Burlingame brothers that the more the training goes on, the more my burden for this training seems to increase.
Amen.
I think when this first happened, I don't know how, I guess, you know, I just, amen, praise the Lord. But the more we go on, the more I just feel like the burden of the training of the brothers just begin to sink into me.
Amen.
So I just want to open to the Lord.
Amen.
Stay open to the Lord.
Amen.
So we come to lesson 14, the heart of an elder. Actually, in the last message, the brothers already mentioned some of these matters, because the person and the heart really cannot be separated. If the heart is not right, you can't have a right person. So you could consider message lesson 13 kind of an overview about the different aspects of a person. And this lesson and the next couple of lessons are more specific. This matter of the heart, I was just considering this particular lesson. I don't know, in the time, I think we need, this outline is just so rich that we just have to spend a lot of time studying these things. So I think hopefully we could open the way for the brothers to have an appetite, have a desire to get into these things. But we have to study. It's so many precious lessons here for us to learn. I was thinking that a lot of we're getting deeper and deeper into dealing with our person. You know, I think Brother Minoru even mentioned last time that although some of the lessons were very good in the first couple of modules, but we are actually getting deeper and deeper to the heart of the matter. So when it comes to the heart of an elder, I was thinking that if our heart is not right, and if our heart is not enlarged, really we couldn't do any of those things that previous lessons talked about. For example, the lesson we talked about before was talking about we need to be hospitable. If we have a small heart, we can never be hospitable. The reason we're not hospitable, we're not decorous, we're not available, is because our heart is small. We need to be enlarged. We were talking about apt to teach. That doesn't mean that you are capable of teaching, but that means you're willing, you're inclined to teach. You have the patience, like a parent, to teach. But if our heart is small, we don't want to teach anybody. Why bother? We're talking about not contentious, right? Many times we are contentious because our heart is so small. Oh, Lord Jesus, may the Lord enlarge our heart. Roman numeral 1 says the importance of the heart of the elders. Let's read A together. In doing anything, the person who is doing the work must be the right person. If we do not have the proper person, or if the person is not the right person, we cannot expect things to be done well. Right. So, I think the brothers share that made a very strong emphasis. We're not talking about methods, because our natural man likes methods. Immediately, just tell me how to do it, and I'll do it. It's not about how to do it, though. It's about our person.
Amen.
You know, Brother Lee used in the excerpt you will read, he used this example. For example, even in a country, you may have the same constitution, and you may have the same system. But if the executive is the wrong person, you will see the country go in a wrong way. But you could have the same constitution and the same system, and you have the right person, he will turn the situation.
Amen.
So this shows us that it's really not the methods or the system, but what kind of person we are.
Amen.
And if this is the case in the world, how much more this is the case in the church? But we'll realize that we are not the right person. Eventually, that's hopefully these lessons, like Brother Jim said, if after several months we figure out, oh, actually I wasn't too bad after all, then I think maybe something is missing. I think most, if not all of us, come to a realization under the Lord's light that I'm not the right person. But then what do? Right? And you say, well, I'm just going to throw in the towel. No. This is where we need the universal replacement.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wants to come in and replace everything.
Amen.
Our tongue, our eyes, our ears, and our heart, our person. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How much we need to cry out to the Lord these days.
Amen.
Lord, deal with me.
Amen.
Be my person.
Amen.
Oh, enlarge my heart.
Amen.
Let's also read B1 together. Especially with those who are elders, the heart must be dealt with until it is very proper. As long as the heart of an elder is slightly off, we can never expect the person of the elder to be right. Wow. Our heart must be dealt with until it is very proper. You know, our heart needs to be dealt with. We can't just say, it is what it is. Right? We can't just, I think Brother Minoru said, that's a cop-out. On one hand, we will be deceived if we don't see the situation of our heart. But on the other hand, it's also a cop-out if we say, it is what it is. Our heart must be dealt with until it is very proper. As long as the heart of an elder is slightly off, we can never expect the person of the elder to be right. Even slightly off. I think the brothers were talking about Solomon. His heart was in the right place in the beginning of his ruling. Right? So the Lord grant him wisdom and understanding and a large heart. But later on, his heart was turned away, right? Because of his wives and concubines. His heart was turned away to the idols. And then you have the same person, you have the same system, the same kingdom. You could say the same person with all of his intellectual capacity, and his heart was turned away. And the entire situation with the Lord's people went downhill. How much we need to ask the Lord to gain us, to create in us a right heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just feel that this is often one of my prayers is, Lord, I'd like to turn my heart to you.
Amen.
Whenever the heart is turned to the Lord,
Amen.
The veil is taken away.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read B2 together. If a brother... Yet he neglects a dealing with his heart. It is still easy for such a one to cause problems. Wow. So you can love the Lord, fear him, and learn many spiritual lessons, and even willing to be broken. Yet if we don't deal with our heart, we can still cause problems. So it's one thing to be spiritual. It's another thing to have a right condition of the heart.
Amen.
No matter how spiritual a person is, if his heart is not right, he will not be able to be a good elder. So let's read D together. For an elder, the problem of the heart is a very serious matter. It is an important fact in his function as an elder. Amen. And then we come into this first aspect of our heart is to be enlarged, to be being enlarged in our heart.
Amen.
Let's read A together. As an elder, a person must first have a heart that is large. Largeness is the first necessary condition in an elder's heart. So, the heart is the core, and you may say the foundation of that person. If a heart is not right, you can never be the right person. But the largeness is the first necessary condition of an elder's heart. So a person needs to have the right heart, but the first condition of the heart is what? It's the largeness. I would not have picked this. Right? If you think about it, if you think, Lord, give me a, if you pray, how would you pray? I don't think I would have naturally prayed for a large heart. I may pray that, Lord, give me a heart that loves you. Right? I would pray that. I mean, I don't think that's wrong, but that's not what this says here. It's that the first condition, necessary condition of an elder's heart is to be enlarged. So I was thinking, what does largeness mean? What does it mean to have a large heart, especially in serving the Lord? So we could actually, Brother Lee talks about a couple of things. He never laid out a specific definition, but he gives some hints on what largeness is, or reversely, what smallness is. I think sometimes it's easier to understand what largeness is when you see what the smallness of a heart is.
Amen.
He did mention that a large person, even though he may accomplish a lot, even though he may do a lot, he doesn't have any feeling about it. If any time we're doing something, we're always feeling we're doing so much. That means we have a small heart. A person may be gaining the Lord a lot, have a lot of enjoyment of the Lord, but he has no feeling about it. If we are always thinking, wow, you know, I'm enjoying the Lord so much. Maybe we need to be enlarged. Amen. Maybe reading something would be helpful here. If we turn to page 13, there is a paragraph I really enjoy on page 13 about the third paragraph down from the top, a person who oversees God's people. You see that one? Okay, how about we read that together? A person who oversees God's people needs much wisdom, but the secret of wisdom is to have a large heart. I do want to spend quite a bit of time here with the brothers and sisters on the question of the largeness of your heart. You have no idea how much this matter affects those serving as elders. Many of your inaccurate judgments are caused by your narrow heart. On the surface, it appears that you lack wisdom, but actually, the problem comes because your heart is narrow. When many matters are poorly managed, you may attribute the cause to your foolishness, but actually, your foolishness comes from your narrow heart. If you would only enlarge your heart, immediately you will become a person of wisdom. Isn't this speaking to our situation? A lot of times we feel like we need more wisdom, more capability to do things right. But actually, Brother Lee pointed out here that you have no idea that actually how much the lack of a largeness of our heart affects our serving. How many things we suffer because of the smallness of our heart. How much we have inaccurate judgments because our heart is so small. Many times we are unable to learn new truths because our heart is too small. We are already preoccupied by what we think we know. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So how much we need to learn to enlarge our heart. Amen. Here it talks about Solomon's situation. I think I'll skip that. I think we're familiar with that story. The brothers share about that. We can come down to 2C. Let's read that together. In dealing with any matter, amen. I like the word, we must learn. We must learn. Our heart doesn't have to stay small. We can learn to enlarge ourselves. We must learn to be large. Now, learning to be large doesn't mean that we pretend to be large. There's a difference. If you're small, you're small. Pretending isn't going to help. I think it was Brother Terry who gave this example that the brother had short temper, right? But he was complaining to his wife. But then when the brother visited him, he pretended to be very large. But as soon as they leave, he started complaining to his wife again. You know, that's not learning to be large. That's just pretending to be large. We need to deal with the Lord. We must learn to enlarge ourselves in learning the truth, in seeking to be spiritual, in contacting the brothers and sisters, in discerning others, or in managing affairs. We must learn to be large. Amen. Many times, we are not able to shepherd different types of people because we are too small. We are able to shepherd the ones who are like us, that we can relate to, that's close to our background. We can shepherd them. But that's not a large heart. Amen. If the Lord will enlarge our heart, we can shepherd many people. Amen. Old or young, different from us. Lord Jesus. Many times we're not able to shepherd people because we have the wrong judgments. We already jump into the wrong judgment about people. We jump into conclusion. We already concluded what type of person they are. And so we are close to that person. We're not able to shepherd them. And even in managing affairs, we must learn to be large. A lot of times, because of our smallness, just little things, we get overwhelmed already. Even in managing affairs, we are not given many things, actually, brothers, in this lifetime. We're only asked to take care of a few small things. But many times, just in taking care of a few things, we are overwhelmed already. We feel like, oh, my goodness, I can't deal with this. I got a family, I got a job, I got church life, I got meetings, all these things. Too much. And we have to be here for training too? Oh, Lord Jesus. Actually, these are just a few small things that the Lord is entrusting to us. We need to be enlarged. Oh, Lord, we must learn to be large. There are difficulties in many local churches today because the elders do not have a large heart. Amen. You know, many times situations will come to test us whether we are large or not. It's not what you say. It's when those situations come, what is your reaction? What's really in your heart? Let's say someone else, another brother, is asked to do a certain things, and you are not asked. How do you feel? If someone else gets invited, and you are not invited, how do you feel? The reason, now, I'm not saying that I don't feel those things. The question is, when we feel those things, what do we do about it? It's in those times we need to go to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I feel this way.
Amen.
You know, I feel disappointed. I feel something. I'm not happy, Lord. Right? You open to the Lord. The Lord can come in and heal us.
Amen.
And it's during those times our heart gets enlarged.
Amen.
You know, the brothers share that that's how Aaron and Miriam revolted, right? They rebelled because they thought, hey, what is this? Moses, I'm the one who picked you up, you know? I'm the one who actually shepherded you. Now you are supposed to be the only spokesman for God. Now, we may not rebel outwardly like that, but inwardly, don't we have a lot of voices like that? I know I do. Hey, what about me here? It takes a long time to recognize someone. It's too long. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How much we need to go to the Lord.
Amen.
Deal with my heart.
Amen.
Don't let these things come in and hinder our growth and cause problems for the church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For the time of sake, let's go on to Roman numeral 3. Be honest in our heart.
Amen.
Now here, honesty doesn't just mean that you don't say false things. This is not particularly just talking about don't tell lies, okay? I think that one is obvious, right? Don't tell lies. But here, it's not talking about the absence of lying and cheating. It refers to truthfulness and genuineness. And this is related to our hearts. You know, it talks about truthfulness. You can be factual, but not truthful. Do you know that? You can be factual. Everything you can say could be facts. and yet you're not being truthful. You can say all the things that are, strictly speaking, not false, but you would emphasize certain things that you feel are important. And you will trivialize the things that you don't like, even though they are just as important. If someone else says something that are important to you, you react right away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's exactly right, brother. If someone says something that you disagree with, then you trivialize it. You may not outright disagree with him, but you would dismiss it. Either verbally or in your heart, you dismiss it. Then we never hear the fellowship. The fellowship never come in to adjust us. So may the Lord give us a truthful heart and a genuine heart. A1 is very good. Let's read that together. Honesty means to neither speak with twisting words nor exercise any tactfulness or manipulating. Many times those who are elders are so seasoned to the point that they have become crafty. Wow. May we never become so seasoned to the point that we become crafty. You know, in the church life, after you've been in the church life for a while, you can develop a lot of craft. You can develop a strategy to deal with things. You can develop with methods. You know, even Brother Lee gave an example that you can be so seasoned, quote unquote, that you would be smiling to a person when you really you're not happy with him. He said, that's not right. You give him, that person, the impression that you are very happy with him, but inwardly, you really are not happy at all. That's not right. Now, that doesn't mean that we should lose temper with that person, right? That doesn't mean that we should get mad at him and just, you know, split out everything in our hearts. If, as the brother shared earlier, if we don't feel the guidance to say anything, we don't have to say anything. But you shouldn't give people the false impression. That's being crafty. That is not easy to learn. That's easy to say, but not easy to learn. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. I think there are just a lot here. There are many application. I just feel that, brothers, we need to apply these things in our church life and in our serving. If we don't learn, then all of these things will just become a textbook to us. We could read, we nod our head, okay, got it. But when situations come to us, what is the condition of our heart? Lord, may the Lord grant us a pure heart, an honest heart, and an upright heart. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Maybe because of time, we could read the last Roman numeral together. Amen. 5. If you can be honest, truthful, upright, and straight, your heart will surely be pure with this type of heart. God will all way through you. So when we pray, Lord, give me a pure heart, it means all of these. Honest heart. What does pure heart mean? Honest, truthful, upright, and straight. So to say that I'm pure is one thing. All of these are tests to us, a more specific test to us about the true condition of our hearts. Otherwise, we may feel that we are serving the Lord, and yet the Lord has no way through us. Amen. So God needs to gain this type of heart so that he will have a way through us. Amen. But I just feel that it is such a precious time these days. Amen. We can be learning these precious lessons together. Amen. May we use the time ahead, the weeks ahead, to really dive into these things.
Amen.
I think our church life would be different.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.